Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today is June 21st, 2023. On this week's episode, I'm talking to Rose Byrne. The actor is getting ready to say goodbye to physical with the upcoming third and final season of the Apple TV Plus series. She stars on the show as Sheila Rubin, a celebrity aerobics instructor in the 1980s who must balance her career while secretly suffering from an eating disorder and trying to salvage her marriage. I'll be right back with Byrne, but first, let's take a look at this week's Just for Variety column. Eva Longoria would love to go back to Wisteria Lane. The actor and flaming hot director tells me she's open to a Desperate Housewives reunion. I'd be the first one to sign up, let me tell ya, Longoria says. I'd probably be the only one to sign up, but I miss Gabby. Desperate Housewives ran for 8 seasons before ending in 2012. Longoria reunited with Jesse Metcalf, who played her teenage lover on the primetime soap, at the Los Angeles premiere of Flamin' Hot. If the show gets a reboot, Longoria says she and Housewives creator Mark Cherry have agreed she'll direct the pilot. Longoria directed the season 2 premiere of Devious Maids, the Lifetime series the two executive produced. Check out more of my Just for Variety stories and exclusive news at Variety.com. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm talking to Rose Byrne, who stars as Sheila Rubin, a celebrity aerobics instructor in the 1980s on Apple TV Plus's Physical. The series will end with its upcoming third and final season. I caught up with Byrne from her New York City area home, which she shares with her husband, actor Bobby Cannavale, and their two young sons.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I've just been doing a little press today. And that's been nice. I did The View.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
No, it's fun. I haven't done that for years. For a long time. They've been doing that for 26 seasons.
Are you done with spandex and hairspray? Have you had enough?
It's all very bittersweet. I'm so honored we got the 3 chapters in for Sheila Rubin. She's really, truly been such a force of nature. And the show as a whole, I've just treasured doing it. It's been such a richly fulfilling creative experience. And I adore Annie Wiseman. I could gush and gush and gush all day.
Gosh, go ahead. Did you know 3 seasons would be it, or was that decided as you were sort of going along?
Kind of as we went. It was like, you never know, right? You're not sure how it's going to shake out, but I feel really proud that we did 3. And I think it's a show that is really unusual. It's a show that wouldn't have been made, 5 or 10 years ago, probably.
Right.
The benefit of these, of these platforms and having more women at the helm and women being allowed to like make their shows that they wrote, that one show they had in the top drawer that was their passion project. And finally they're able to do it because there's more female executives and there's more people at the helm who are like greenlighting female written, female led dramas and female shows run by female showrunners. So I feel like we were so lucky, having started in something like Damages, which was also groundbreaking in its own way, but was very much run by not by any women, to then having this last experience of doing Physical, which was really, for me as an artistic, it was such a creative kind of full circle.
What do you like most about Sheila?
The hair. I've never seen anything depicted like this personally in terms of an illness like this on screen, and I really, Annie Wiseman was always at my touchstone for that. And it's a fine needle to thread, when you're depicting something this dark and extreme and behaviors like this, you have to do it in a way that is, it's a delicate balance. And she was always like, this is how I would want to see it. And she is a friend in recovery, and I had a lot of friends in recovery who reached out and how much they related to this narrative of her, particularly her inner monologue, which was always which I don't know why, but it did take me by surprise. I was like, it's a universal feeling that a lot of people go through,
What kind of research when you were preparing? Do you talk to people in recovery? Do you sort of go on your own journey to try to figure it out? You obviously don't want to just be an impersonation of someone. You don't want to be a caricature. How do you find that balance of bringing the reality to it, but not, but not doing disservice where you fall into, you know, awful cliches and tropes?
Yeah, it's challenging. I did a lot of research. I spoke to people in recovery. I spoke to a wonderful young woman who worked in a ED recovery center, who was every day with people in recovery and all of the behaviors. Annie Wiseman obviously was my biggest touchstone. I mean, there's a lot of literature. And what was really key to it too was the fact that it was in 1981, not in 2012. It's a very different time. It's a very different time, very different time. It doesn't feel that long ago, but it really was a long time ago. And we're sort of reverse engineering to where we are now, and there's many more places for recovery, and also many more wellness outlets for that matter. Like, this is also a meditation on like the wellness business and how that, started through a lot of women at that time, finding their financial independence and economic security through this outlet. And Sheila very much falls into that category.
What do you dislike most about Sheila?
The leotards. Oh my god, they got pretty uncomfortable after a while. I honestly, it was such a creatively fulfilling job, and what's always nerve-wracking is like, how am I not gonna fuck this up? That's the biggest fear, is you're like, how the hell am I not gonna screw this up? I just hope I don't screw this up too much.
Listen, you look at your career. Do you have that insecurity going into every job? Like, I'm going to fuck this up. How do I not fuck this up? I know we like to talk about imposter syndrome.
100%. I do. I don't think actors are so insecure. You've interviewed enough actors, bloody actors. even if they have a bravado, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's such a fragile business. It's a rare business that the more you do doesn't really necessarily amount to longevity. It can all be, it's very mercurial, and you always have to enjoy what you're doing, because you just have to enjoy the experience as much as you can, or creatively, enjoy parts of it as much as you can, because the results of it is just so out of your control. And to make, feel confident to make choices, one of the more empowering things we have as actors. But even when you're starting out, that's really hard to give yourself that.
How did you soothe those insecurities, or still soothe those insecurities? Not letting, I was just talking to a friend last night, and it was after red carpet. And as you know, I do a lot of red carpets. And I said, every red carpet I go to, I'm convinced no one's going to talk to me. Every carpet. And he said to me, he goes, even now? And I said, yeah. I said, I think, part of what fuels me is that insecurity, but it's finding that balance, because then that insecurity could also be completely paralyzing.
Yes. It's a fine balancing act. I get it. And I think without the nerves, is it really happening? I don't know. I think the nerves are the adrenaline of the job is the blessing and the curse. So I definitely still have that, or suffer from that.
Was there ever a job, and hopefully you'll disclose, was there ever a job where you were like, I nailed that, that was so good, and then the reviews came in, or something happened, and you're like, I got a little too secure about that.
I'm sure there has been. I'm sure I've had my moments, but I've buried it deep inside my soul. No, I'm generally full on the, Bobby always says to me, you have the worst kind of radar for anything that you do. Because I'm generally very, I just think I've screwed it up every single time, basically. Yeah.
You know, I know it sounds silly, but it's like I'm sitting here talking to Rose Byrne. I'm like, she really thinks she screws it up all the time?
Oh, God, yeah. Kidding? I'm like, oh, how am I going to fuck this thing up? So it's very boring to talk about.
it's not.
To hear an actress speak lamenting her paranoia to you. But
it's so universal. Whether you're an actor, a journalist, an accountant, a salesperson, a taxi driver, everyone, I think for the most part, has that.
Yeah.
It's so part of the human
condition. I know it must be some survival method, right? To keep the she's going. We're like,
so what keeps Sheila going? Talk about, you know, a woman, a complicated woman who has insecurities but securities and is fierce and determined. What is it? What's her motivation?
Well, I mean, it was an ever evolving experience playing that character, because it was someone coming out of such a disordered way of life with her illness and to also be trying this, but also having this burning ambition behind this sort of shield and her isolation with the illness. And then, so it was a very, she's a polarizing figure in many ways, but and Annie Wiseman just always kept me, Rose, the actress, on my toes, because there was so many pivots and changes and turns and many different reflections for Sheila, whether it was my scenes with John Breen, played by Paul Sparks, or the scenes with Danny Rubin, played by Maurice Scoville, or with Greta, her like one friend who she's finally like comfortable with and like opens up to. So it was ever changing and ever evolving. And that's why it was such a rich kind of a rich stage for a lot of story and a lot of fun.
And season three, I'm not going to say you go head to head with Zooey Deschanel. You go hair to hair with Zooey. I just talked to her the other night. She was telling me about she was telling me about her two big blonde wigs.
She's extraordinary. We had such fun, and she's one of those, you know, as we know, she's a multifaceted performer. She can sing, play instruments. She can, you know, she can dance. She can bake. She's an all-rounder, an overachiever all-rounder. And I feel like the show really taps into that kind of, that halo she has, that halo kind of effect of being really like a multifaceted performer, which I do not have that. And she's just
hello, you sing, you dance, you act. I don't know about your baking skills.
I know. She's just so effortlessly funny, Zooey, you know, her. And she totally just got the show straight away, because it's you know, a show, it's hard to come into a show, and it's in season three, and it's things have been running a certain way, and the tone of any show like that, it's like it's challenging, and she was very game and very funny.
So how many wigs did you have?
I had several. My wig is a half wig. This is my hair here, and then they put like big cascading Sheila on the back. But I loved it. My wig, my wig designer, the hair designer on the film, Audrey Stern, is an incredibly gifted artist, and she was meticulous with this with her. She just was always prepping the wig. It was like a work of art, and the lighting would revolve around the hair in a way. So she was very much a character in the show.
What was it like when, I imagine, you know, it's like any wardrobe or any costume. Obviously, the hair becomes almost its own character for a show like this.
Yes.
You put that piece on, is it sort of like, I'm Sheila?
I adore the costume and makeup and hair process. It's so creative and so fun, and such a language and dialogue you have with all the heads of the department. And it is absolutely a moment where everyone is like, right, and it kind of lines up. And you know, our show, our special effects on physical are the hair, the makeup, the wardrobe. Those are our special effects. So we were always meticulous with that. And I just loved that creative process, particularly for someone like Sheila, who is very, you know, very into her looks and her appearance, and she's into clothes, fashion, and she definitely evolves through that, through also, you know, becoming like a sort of a polished hippie to really stepping into her becoming more of a powerhouse 80s woman.
At the end of the day, did you have almost like a phantom piece? Like you would take it off, go home, but did it feel like it was still there?
I'm pretty church and state. As soon as I get out of there, I'm out of there. I like scrub my face. I'm just like, I leave it all at the work and then I go. But I would get a little neck pain because of the weight of it. I definitely had that. I hadn't had that for a long time since another job years ago. So it was, she would stay with me in my.
It was that much hair.
Sometimes it was heavy. Yeah, sometimes it was heavy. And I have a lot of hair too. So on top of my hair, a lot more hair. But it was such a distinctive frame. You know, Annie really wanted the character to fill the frame with her hair. So I initially was kind of intimidated by it. And then by the end, I was like, let's get it bigger, bigger, bigger.
Listen, I'm a kid of the 80s, so I know that hair. I'm a kid of the 80s from New York, from Queens. So I know that hair.
Ew, Queens boy.
I'm a queen. I'm right from Howard Beach, right near JFK. So
I was at the aquarium in Coney Island on the weekend.
Do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
I consider myself an Aussie. Yeah, I mean, I still walk around. I'm like, what are you doing here again? How did I end up here? I mean, I've been here for so long, but I still feel like a foreigner. Yeah, I still feel like it's not, you know, the edges maybe have dulled of my Aussiness, but I'm still very much a fish out of water. But I love the city. I always have. And it's been through so much, oh my goodness, these past few years. Yeah. But I'm very much an Aussie girl through and through.
Listen, I've been in LA almost 20 years now, and I'm a New Yorker.
I still feel
like I'm visiting.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same kind of feeling, yeah.
And only New Yorkers will say to me when I go back and I'm working there and I'll run into someone I knew, you know, 20 years ago working in New York, they'll say, so you like LA? it's 20 years. I would hope so, because that's really a miserable existence. If I didn't.
I think I do. Let me check.
We're going to take a short break, but when we return, Byrne talks about returning to the Insidious franchise. Plus, she reveals what it's really like to work opposite Robert De Niro, one of her co-stars, and director Tony Goldwyn's comedy, Ezra. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of physical star Rose Byrne.
Insidious. Did you ever think when you were making the first one, we'd be talking about this one in 2023?
That's a good question. And no, we made that first movie in 22 days for like $8.50. And, you know, it was this tiny movie that they had broken away from their contract with the studio and they were doing an independent horror film because they wanted to have their autonomy back. And James was, they had been kind of burnt by the last few movies they'd done, and they were just doing this tiny little movie, and it was Patrick and me and the three kids. And there's no way I thought that. It's a really good, it's so interesting, right? You just don't know if these things will take on. And then to be back with the original cast, Tyson, now 21, writing, it was really cool. It was really cool. I enjoy it so much. I'm in it very briefly, but it was really cool to all be there thinking how far it's come, this tiny little movie, you know?
What was the adjustment to have Patrick bossing you around and telling you what to do?
We've always got on well. He's great. He's great. I was like, this is awesome. He had so much to do because he was acting so much. Running around, and he's very practical. He works really hard. He doesn't, you know, his qualities lend themselves to being a director. He's got strong opinions. He's very forthcoming. He's really great and even tempered to the crew and the cast, but he's aware of the time constraints and all this. I felt it was, I was really excited for him. I loved it. I was really proud to be there with my friend who did this thing. Mm. Now he's doing it. It was great.
When are you going to direct?
I know. I was looking at Patrick. I don't have the burning desire as I speak to you today, but I hope maybe Monday. If I did right now, I don't. I've loved producing and sourcing material, and I have a little production company in Australia, and that's been wonderful, like sourcing IP and developing things. And we released an independent film, this Aussie movie, Seriously Red, at the start of the year, which is available on all good streaming platforms. And I play an Elvis Presley impersonator on in the film. It's wonderful, heartwarming Aussie movie. So that I've enjoyed. But the directing is, you know, it's a lot. Gosh, talk about a consuming job. And you really have to carve out the time to do that. And I admire people who do it.
And you had another actor-director, Tony Goldwyn.
I did. Tony, it was wonderful. We did this movie with him and I and Bobby and Bob De Niro and Whoopi Goldberg over the summer in 22. And I'm very much supporting part in that. But I've seen the movie and it's a real tearjerker. So I'm excited for people to see it.
So you just, not that you dropped the name, but you're like Whoopi Goldberg, Bobby De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, obviously. Kind of all, we know that relationship. Do you ever just sort of, I don't expect you're looking at your IMDb every day, but do you ever look at your projects and go, holy fuck, I work with the best?
I mean, it's funny, it's your day to day, right? So you're like just doing it, like going, you know, but, I have a friend who's like, it's always important to see how far you've come.
Yeah.
Because you can really lose that in the day-to-day and the just life, right, going on. And so it's always great to look back to Queens or wherever. You know, okay, look at this storyline. This through line that I have. And especially, I mean, doing those scenes with Bob over the summer was very surreal. Obviously, getting to work with somebody like that is it's a kind of a watershed moment where you're like, oh dear. No, I really hope I don't screw this.
What is he like when you're looking at, I don't want to call him Bob De Niro, Mr. De Niro, when you're looking at him, you're doing a scene with him. Stay in the moment and not sort of all of a sudden it hits you like, oh shit, that is Robert De Niro.
I just a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs, a lot of meditation work. He's an actor's actor. I mean, he's just right there for you. It's about the work and that's it. You just, it's about the work. And that's, I love that. I love that. And our scenes were very high stakes. So it was like not a casual sort of film. It's like our scenes were like very, very high stakes. So, you know, he sets a mood and it's incredible to have someone with that sort of gravitas, and very similar to like Glenn Close, who I worked with for many seasons on Damages. There's a great respect that comes with that talent and that kind of legacy. So but it's about the work, you know, and that's, so you just gotta remember your lines, don't trip over.
So did you remember your lines? Did you trip over at all with Robert De Niro?
Oh, I showed up. I showed up.
Yay!
I got to work. That's all you need to know. I got that. I was there. That's the hardest part, showing up.
Another wig.
I'm not in a wig for that. I'm not in a wig for that.
Rose, this was awesome. It's always great chatting with you.
Yes, nice to see you, Mark.
Same here. Congrats on Physical.
Hey.
That was Rose Byrne. Physical is available on Apple TV Plus. And that's it for this week's Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. Until then, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all your breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. See you next time.